Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. It's a good Tuesday. It's a good Tuesday because Peter King is going to be with us today. SI.com, senior NFL writer, good friend of the show. Peter has been able to carve out a couple of minutes in what is a busy, busy day for him, but he'll join us via Skype from his home in New York City. So we will have him Skype on in. Last night, the Cardinals had their, Bruce Arians had his annual charity event. Bruce does so many good things. He really does. Bruce Arians is not coaching anymore here in Arizona. We are going to miss him a lot for many, many reasons. Yes, he fills up a notebook. He doesn't take himself too serious, but he wins. He coaches well. Team has done successful things on the field. Off the field, times 10. The Arians Foundation, this was last night at Stake 44. Eric was out there. And, of course, we sat with Bruce a couple of weeks ago to promote the event. But at the event last night, Larry Fitzgerald was pulled aside. Was it Josh that pulled him aside that had that note about how he's only going to address one time his future? And that will be the opening.
He was the one that reported it.
Okay.
He was the one that reported it, yeah. But I don't know if it was just to him or he was just the first one to get it. I'm assuming since they credited him, he was the one that got it.
He's the one that got it. So the deal is Fitz said he's only going to address his future one time. Now, I don't know how that's going to work if it's anything other than I'm coming back. Because if he says, this is it, this is my swan song, then he's going to have people every week wanting a piece of him. So it can't be that. If it's, I'm going to figure this out and I'll address my future at the end of the year, it's not going to work. There's going to be national people that fly in every week. There's going to be, I don't know how he's going to handle this, you know? Like, I still remember seeing Larry Fitzgerald on the segways with Darnell Dockett up in Flagstaff bumping around and just, you know, not wanting to talk to reporters after tough losses and all that stuff back in the late 2000s. Now he's coming to, clearly the end is closer than the beginning of this whole deal. And so to drop that little bit of, I'm only going to talk about it once for the whole year, makes me really wonder what he possibly could say. I'm of the opinion I want to see him leave at the top of his game. Wide receiver, any NFL player, it goes like that, and it goes like that in a hurry. Doesn't matter who you are. Guys stick around 1 year too long, and it's just over with. Legs go, one hit here, nagging injury there. And I like him as a person even more as a football player. That was not the case initially. I thought his first couple of years, he was just kind of a diva to everybody. And then, you know, as he's grown into himself, as a lot of guys do when they're 21, 22, 23, 24, you know, he's been terrific within the community and on the other side of it, too, and dealing with the media responsibilities and all that. So you were out there last night, huh? Was it a good event?
Oh, yeah. Very good event. Yeah. Like you said, they help kids in need. And that is something that Bruce and his wife and the Jake Arians and the entire family takes very serious.
I'm sure the usual suspects were there, but were there some players there that you were like, well, that's good to see that guy show up at a charity event?
Nearly the entire team arrived.
Robert
Condici. Yeah, if the head coach is hosting an event and it's like OTAs and it's strongly suggested that you attend.
We recommend
that you show up.
But Condici was there, huh?
Yeah. Chandler Jones. Fits, yeah. the usual cast and crew.
But Condice, here's somebody that last year he had a scholarship. He had a redshirt season. It was disappointing for him. So, I mean, for him to roll in out there, you can't tell anything about a guy. I mean, here's some video from it from last night. This is good. There's Chandler Jones. I mean, he looks like he's ready to light somebody up. I get it. It's May. This is all about kids in the community. Jeff Mastro, and there's Condice. Yeah.
Yeah, he was they told Condice to become a professional. And hopefully between his rookie year and his second year on and off the field, he'll learn how to become a professional.
We have that story to address with a Suns potential draft pick later in the show.
We do.
Josh Jackson must apologize, attend anger management, diversion agreement. I mean, there's just all this stuff now around Josh Jackson.
And do the Suns want to go down that road of drafting another Kansas player with issues? Do they really want to?
You know,
yes, it's a neat area. Yes, he's an exceptional basketball player, right. A super talent, but it's the fourth pick. You've already missed with Alex Len. Are you going to go down the road and try to blow another top five
pick? Can't suck again like they sucked last season. Oh, no, we suck again!
No.
Can't do that.
But they might.
Oh.
What is happening in the West, Brad? The West is getting better. Are the Suns getting better as of today? I don't think so.
Nice player, but that's it. No, you have to do something major here.
You have to.
You have to go to get out of the ditch that they've been driven into by the owner. You got
to
do that.
They have to give away Brandon Knight for nothing.
Well, but and we'll get into this after Peter. But just one last thought here: if you're Boston, and Isaiah Thomas wants a big number, and Isaiah Thomas has done a great job. But you can draft Lonzo Ball to run the show. I'm sure Celtic fans are like, hell no. There's no way we want Lonzo Ball. But you only get one shot at a guy.
And I would think the Celtics are the type of organization that could really control the dad.
Maybe, but maybe
because
not.
They're an established... I mean, they have...
Danny Ainge would know.
And they have a championship pedigree. The Suns don't have a championship pedigree. Lakers have a championship pedigree.
Think about that trade Danny Ainge did. Hey, Brooklyn, we will give you Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, and all you have to do is give us a couple of number one picks.
Two, three, four years in advance.
And Danny's just like, how many times has Danny Ainge, hey, you know, Phoenix, we kind of like Isaiah Thomas over here. Like, he's just, it's how he played the game.
Yeah, and in a way, he knows when to sell at just the right time. Just like the Patriots do. Just like the Red Sox do. It's almost some
it's
of
the Bostonian
it kind of is a Bostonian thing.
Roger Moore passed away today. Very sad. Those of you that watch the show through the years know that I am into Bond, and that's just one of my simple pleasures in life. I don't have many of them. I do this, and I do my kids, and I live life. But if it's a Bond movie that comes out, we'll have Goody on Thursday. Roger Moore, if we're talking about the greatest Bonds of all time. So, you know, For Your Eyes Only it was okay. I still look at Sean Connery in IC Bond, and I was a kid when Sean Connery was doing like Goldfinger and all that stuff. Roger Moore was better than Timothy Dalton. Timothy Dalton was not good. Daniel Craig is a fine present day James Bond. Roger Moore was somewhat better than Pierce Brosnan. But if you go through all the Bond and the history of the Bonds, you know, Roger Moore was, he had like a 15-year run of being a Bond guy. And he passed away today. So I'm saddened by that. And I've had some people already send me Bond stories this morning, which is fine. You know what's going on here. There's some things on the sports front before we get to Peter. The Diamondbacks last night, once again, you have to look at them and say, here's a team that sucked out loud for years and years, and now they're fun to watch. And Greinke last night, it was must-see television. It is must-see. Our summer, they're not going to fall off a cliff, right? They're just not. Like, their bullpen has gotten better. Their defense has gotten better. They hit home runs. They are able to move runners around. They don't have guys with goofy nicknames that broadcasters have to latch onto and make a big deal out of. I don't hear anything about beef this year behind home plate. What I see is a guy like Greinke having a much better year. And Greinke last night had this Ephus pitch. I missed it. I heard about it. I just looked down while the game was on. Whew, man. Can I see that again? That is just awesome. They call it the pitch type. Look at this. Wow. 65. There's no way you're going to hit that. These poor White Sox.
That's like the type of pitch you throw in wiffle ball. Like, that reminds me of a wiffle ball pitch where you don't know how you grip it, but you just somehow grip it and you spin it, and the ball that weighs nothing looks like it's just going to be a nice fat meatball, and then it just falls right off the table.
Well, no, it's like a knuckleball, right? For a guy like me, it's Phil Niekro, Joe Niekro, Charlie Huff, Tom Candiotti. It's one of those deals of guys that throw knuckleballs. And I don't know how the Diamondbacks are going to be able to fend off all these teams that are going to come after them with gobs of money to say, we will take the $33 million contract off of your payroll. We will do that.
Trade him now. right now.
If you trade him right now,
trade
Eric, it
him
just
right now.
It just sends the absolute wrong message. How can you do that? How can you do that to a sports city that has suffered with teams that have blown here for a long time?
Are the Diamondbacks a playoff team?
Yeah.
No.
Wild card.
No.
How can you say that? Look at the National League.
I know it's not great. I know.
I get it. It's May 23rd. I'm a fan.
I can't drink the Kool-Aid yet. I am so impressed. I am so impressed so far. And the later we get into the edge of summer,
okay, what's
the more convinced.
You? What's the date for you? July 4th?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. In the baseball calendar, the holidays tell you what you have. You get to Memorial Day and you have a team that's competing. Okay, you have a good team.
Yep.
You get to 4th of July, you have a team that you think can make the run. They do that. You get to Labor Day.
Then it's, okay, we need to make some trades if we're still in contention, or trade away some guys if we're not still in contention.
Well, you can't do that. Trade deadline's the end of July.
Well, yeah.
But I think the roster expands, right? So you can pull guys up. My thing is, I'm willing to get a weak head start on Memorial Day and say, this team, Jake Lamb gets player of the week, right? Goldschmidt is an all-star over at first base, played great. You go around the rest of the team, and yeah, they're getting hit on. There's some teams that have called them about Pollock, some agent talk about Greinke. You got to play this thing out, don't you? You're not missing the window. You know, if we're sitting here 2 months from now and they're 10 games out of first place, it's, yeah, see, I told you so. Okay, trade Greinke. You're still going to get a boatload for him. It's not like teams are going to run away, Eric. If anything, you want to – I get it. He's playing so well, you don't want him to pull something or have something go wrong with him. But you know every fifth day he's going to go out there and just shellac and shut down and shut out teams.
He's been lights out this year. There's no doubt
about
it. Outside that one bad start in L.A.
When you take the 1-0 loss in San Diego.
Yep, where he made one bad pitch.
One bad pitch. No, it's fun. We'll get into the NBA playoffs a little bit later on. But up next, we'll get into Peter King with us. Peter just released his NFL power rankings, and I think he's just totally confused on what to do with the Cardinals. I'm going to ask him about that, because he doesn't have them at 1. He doesn't have them at 31. He has them somewhere in between. How's that for a tease? We'll get to Peter King next from the Monday Morning Quarterback. I'm Brad Sussmann. And now let's dive further into the Cardinals and the offseason and things around the National Football League. As always, good to catch up with Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback, on Twitter at the MMQB, and of course online, mmqb.si.com. Peter joins us via Skype. Okay, so you've put out your NFL power rankings, and I would say, reading through them top to bottom, you are just completely befuddled and confused with where to put the Arizona Cardinals after this offseason is complete. Right, Peter?
Yeah, I am. I know that at least entering the season, they're a middle-of-the-pack team, because when you're an aging team the way they are at key positions, you know, and of your three most important offensive players, two of them probably or at least might be heading into their last year, you know, it's hard to tell, you know, where exactly they are. And, you know, for instance, is Carson Palmer, still a top 10 premier quarterback, you know, 2 years ago, a top five premier quarterback? And, you know, so those are the kind of questions that when you get to be that age, whatever Carson is, 38 years old or whatever, you know, you have to start asking those questions.
Peter, I think in looking at your analysis, too, of turning around and handing the ball off to David Johnson, I agree with you on that to a point. I'm concerned that we're seeing a lot of wear and tear on him very early in his career, and I get it. That's the NFL. That's the deal with a running back. But do you have to find a way to maybe dial back a few of those carries this year with him?
Well, on the one hand, I think you're absolutely right. You don't want to burn this guy out before his second contract. I totally get it. But if you're looking, the Cardinals are in a very strange spot. Okay. If you're looking at a situation where you want to maximize what you have right now with Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald. Well, last year, I looked this up the other day, last year, David Johnson was on the field for 964 snaps out of whatever there were, 1,060 or something like that. I don't know. I don't know, whatever there were. But I mean, he was on the field for 87% of their snaps last year. So, you know, you look at it and you say, well, geez, you don't want to have him, you know, touching the ball very much more. But on the other hand, you also say that, look, it could be that 2018 is going to be the start of a rebuilding slog. Mm-hmm. You just don't know. It could be that 2018, quarterback John Doe, who nobody even knows who it's going to be. Is it going to be Josh McDaniel? Is it going to be Jimmy Garoppolo? Excuse me. Is it going to be Kirk Cousins? Is it going to be one of these rookies? I mean, I have no idea. They don't know right now. So I agree with you, and I don't think anyone would begrudge the Cardinals if they said, hey, listen, even though this is probably the last year for those two guys, we're not going to do anything to affect, you know, the long-term greatness of David Johnson. I would understand that, but I'd also understand if they said, let's give him 340 carries.
Larry Fitzgerald said at Bruce Arians' charity event the other night that he's only going to address his future one time. That's the opening day of training camp this year. Just once he's going to talk about it, which means, Peter, you have to be out here for the opening of training camp, I would think, but that's beside the point. If now that he has said that, what does that lead you to believe? It makes me think if he says, I am retiring at the end of the year, I can't buy that. It makes me think he's wants to play another season. He's going to say, you know what, I'm going to play this year, and I'll probably play next year. What do you think?
Well, when I saw that, one of the first things I thought about was maybe he's going to say, whatever I announce, I'm going to announce at the end of the year. Like, if I were him, quite honestly, maybe he's made his mind up, and if he's made his mind up and wants to announce whatever it is, great. But if he truly hasn't made up his mind, when I heard him say that, I honestly thought that what he meant was, I have not decided what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to talk about this until the day after the season ends.
Okay.
Which, in my opinion, if I were him, that's exactly how I would handle it. Because, you know, the last thing Bruce Arians wants, the last thing anybody in this organization wants, is a constant drumbeat of, you know, WWLD, what will Larry do? And so if I were him, now again, if he has decided what to do, then great. He's decided he can announce whatever he wants. But come on, if he hasn't decided, I think it would be in the best interest of the team for him to say, I'm not going to talk about it at all this year.
Peter King with us. Before I let you go, the NFL owners have decided to reduce the number of minutes in overtime. They've decided that the numbers of players in training camp, they're going to keep it the same from start to finish. I think all this is leading towards player safety and concussion, all that stuff, Peter. Is it in your view that 3-5 years from now there is no overtime? Where's this leading? It can't just be cut 5 minutes out of overtime.
I think they might just leave it like that. I think they're going to see what happens if it leads to a lot more. If half the games end in a tie, you know, half the tie games at the end of regulation end in a tie, then, you know, maybe they do something else, either eliminate overtime at all or put it back to 15 minutes. I don't know. But every time I've talked to somebody in the league, going back to the league meetings at the Biltmore, it has been the exact same thing. I mean, as I'm trying to remember the exact number, but as one league official told me at the time, look, our overtime games, two of our overtime games went the full way, had 39 extra plays in them. And he said, so one of these days, and I've since found out that in the last 5 years, teams that had an overtime game on Sunday and had to play the following Thursday are 2-10 in those games. Yeah. So it appears, I mean, that's not enough to form an absolute hard and fast judgment, but it appears that playing an overtime game on Sunday does have some deleterious effect if you have to play a Thursday game. So I think it's a good idea to try this. And everybody has said, well, wait a second, what if there's an 8 or 9 minute drive? then the second team is not going to get a chance. Hey, look, the second team has two timeouts. And so, you know, if you want to try to prevent these 200-play marathon games, I think you got to try to do something.
Stay well. Pretty appreciate the time, as always. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad.
There's Peter King with us, as always. Good to have Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback, MMQB. Great content there. Sports360AZ.com. We are back with more after this timeout on a Tuesday. Sports360AZ.com. Welcome back. Good Tuesday. Tonight, our TV show on Fox Sports Arizona, before and after the Diamondbacks game, 5 o'clock, 5:30. Afterwards, around 10:30, 11 o'clock. Overnights at 1:30. Set your DVR tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. and 7:30, even extra airings. We're up to, I think, 16 airings a week now with our partnership with Fox Sports AZ. So appreciate that. There's lots going on at the NFL owners' meetings in Chicago that we'll get to in about 15 minutes. Appreciate Peter doing this on a busy, busy day for him. Let me get over to the NBA playoffs. Tonight, you know, as much as I've been just not interested at all in the playoffs and just saying on this show, let's just get to Cleveland and Golden State, I'm interested tonight to see how Boston plays. The fact that nobody is giving them a shot, the fact that they were able to win a game and do so after getting drilled by, well, I think it was like 44 last Friday night. They won on Sunday. Yeah, the playoffs have been lousy. Playoffs have been horrible. I've heard all that. That's really a tired narrative. We're this close to the finish line. And the easy play is that Cleveland tonight, LeBron James won't go scoreless in the fourth quarter, that Cleveland will roll right through Boston tonight. It'll be 3-1, and they'll need to get it out of the way in order to get onto the finals. I got it. Simple, right? Basketball's not so simple. Tweaked ankle, step on somebody's foot, look at Kawhi Leonard's situation, and all of a sudden a series goes away. The thing about Golden State last night getting the brooms out on San Antonio, early February was the last time the Warriors, this is the dominance of Golden State, I think Golden State's going to beat Cleveland. Draymond, Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant. The last time those four have been on the floor, the last time they lost was in early February.
That's ridiculous. I mean, that's just in early February.
Early February.
So right around the Super Bowl was the last time that the Warriors lost a game.
When they had those four on the floor.
Right.
And, you know, I get it. The NBA regular season is not good. And there's a lot of bad teams in the NBA. And, you know, Kevin Durant being ripped for going over on the easy street to try and win a championship. I don't know. People can rip somebody all they want on that front. They don't know what Kevin Durant's business is off the court. If I'm trying to do business and build my brand for the future, I'm going to go to the Bay Area versus stay in Oklahoma City. That's just the way it is.
What's that old saying, Brad? If you can't beat them, join them?
Well, there is that. Okay, and I don't. You know, Eric, I look at that whole deal and say it's easy for him to have stayed in Oklahoma City. It's just as easy for him to go to L.A. and have been a Laker, right? Or to be a Clipper. Like, for a big-name free agent to come to Phoenix now in 2017, that is a real risk because the once-proud franchise is no longer the once-proud franchise. In what used to be a destination market for players, we were a destination market. Yeah, I'm going to say we. We were able to draw destination free agents, big-time free agents, not just run-of-the-mill guys to come to Phoenix. That's not the case now.
I will disagree with you on one thing. I think you can build your brand wherever if you're a megastar. Like, if Steph Curry ever left and played for the Timberwolves, he'd still be Steph Curry. If he ever left to go play in Charlotte, he'd still be Steph Curry.
Well, I think if you're
a megastar like Kevin Durant, it doesn't matter what size market you're in.
What do you want to do?
Like post-NBA?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, what does Steph Curry want to do post-NBA? Does he want to go sell ice to Eskimos? I don't know.
Oh, if you want to be an actor or get in the movie business, of course you want to be in California, Southern California, the Bay Area, wherever.
Well, it's like this. Calais. Let's just use Calais Campbell. You and I have talked to Calais enough. We both know that he has interest in doing screenplays, writing, acting. So he decides to go to Jacksonville.
Comedy.
There's comedy in Jacksonville.
Well, I mean, he's into comedy sure. Shows. His brother's a comedian, or right. Aspiring comedian.
Right. No, but I think in each case, a guy, I am not going to disagree with you, but if Kevin Durant has technology that he's interested in, let's just say that. We don't know. These guys don't share with what their interests are. When Steve Nash was sent away from the Suns to the Lakers, it made perfect sense. He was already working on screenplays. He was already working on movie stuff.
Documentaries, yeah. Things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, so indie goes films, out. Yep.
Yeah, so it puts him in that environment for post, right? I think the easy thing is to sit here behind a microphone and say, yeah, Kevin Durant's a wuss because he's going to play for a team that's already stacked and loaded. I think that's easy. That's low-hanging fruit. You don't know the whole backside. That's chasing clicks. That's chasing impressions. You know, that's the bad side of our business. I would tend to look at it and say, what is the best place for me to go that I would like to live in that gives me the best chance to win a title, get paid a lot of money, and maybe there's some post-career stuff? Then maybe that's all it is for Kevin Durant. Did you see that the Warriors scored 498 points in the series against the Spurs?
It's just
the four-game series.
Insane. Like, that is the model of consistency right there, right?
Tied with the 78 Sixers for the most points. Like, they just absolutely destroyed Greg Popovich.
They were over their average by about 3 points last night. They scored 129.
And if Ginobili does retire, Ginobili goes into the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. I don't care if he's a starter or not a starter. And anybody who wants to badmouth Manu Ginobili, you're just a Suns fan that's bitter that you lost, that they got over on you. That's it. There's no reason to badmouth Manu Ginobili. Manu Ginobili is what you would want to have on your team. He's the present-day Danny Ainge when he was with the Suns, except he's better than Danny. Danny's not in the Hall of Fame. Manu should be in the Hall of Fame. But is it the demise of San Antonio? You know, let's go back to what you said in the last segment. We're just in the tease that the West has gotten so much tougher. Are there teams that are descending, right? I think the Clippers are going to descend. I think that's got everything written on it that this isn't going to go well, and Blake's not going to be here, and Doc may be in trouble, and they got an owner that's a tech guy. Who knows what type of patience he's going to have? But I think the Lakers are ascending. I think Minnesota at some point...
have to be better.
Have to be with all these guys they've added.
131 games last year, but you have to think they're going to be much improved in the future.
We know that Utah is already there. They're a postseason
team. Yeah, depending
team.
On what happens with Gordon Hayward. If he leaves, that's
well,
a
that's
huge
true.
Blow for them.
No, you're right. You're right. I'll agree with you on that. I'll give you that. But you know, it takes us over to our hometown heroes. So our hometown heroes, Josh Jackson, was involved in an issue in Kansas during the regular season. Bill Self had a couple guys that were involved in problems. So Josh Jackson now must apologize for his actions. He must attend anger management, and he must agree to a diversion agreement. All this comes together when the Suns are sitting here saying, well, what should we do with the fourth pick overall in the draft?
And he is exactly what the Suns need. He's exactly
on the court.
What they
on
need.
The court.
On the court. Of course, on the court.
Josh Jackson... misdemeanor property damage charge. Oh, it's just a college kid getting in trouble. Can't be a big deal. Allegedly damaging the car of a women's basketball player in early December. Class B non-person misdemeanor.
Got suspended for a game in the Big 12 tournament.
Punishable up to six months in jail. Issued a statement. He said he was sorry. He offered to pay for any damages that I directly caused. Reading from here. Bill Self said he'd already disciplined Jackson for his actions that led to the charge and called him a great ambassador for the university. Since the incident, however, the women's player who reported it has seen her minutes per game nearly cut in half. This was back after this took place. We applied the appropriate in-house discipline immediately after the discipline will remain in-house, Self said in a release. So the Kansas City Star has been staying after this story. Several other witnesses are listed, including the victim, KU sophomore Mackenzie Calvert. The two other members of the women's team, Calvert's father, Tim, was not present, but is listed as a witness because he owns the car, 2016 Ford. Calvert is the same female KU student who a university investigation found likely committed domestic violence against more than a year ago. So she was part of two things there. Lawrence police were called to a parking lot near the Yacht Club, which is near West 6th and Wisconsin Streets, before 2 a.m. December 9th. News release says that some of what happened in those early morning hours, Calvert threw a drink on a male patron leaving the bar. The Star has learned that patron was a player by the last name of Vic. So there's a couple things here around this lady, this athlete. And I guess when I go through this on just broad surface, do we look at this and say, okay, he had an incident off the court at KU. He's apologized, but he can score a lot of points. We want to have him on the floor. How many times have we had stories like this in the world of sports through the years? I'm numb with it. I like to take this pen and shove it through my ear and pull it out on the other side for the number of times I've had to sit here and try to justify whether a team should or should not take a player. I'm more of the mindset that Lauri Markkanen is sitting there. And yeah, I've had a man crush on him since I saw him play last year down at U of A. And I've seen him play several times in person. There is no downside that I see for him. He is only going to get better. The downside is the Suns have Bender here and they have Chris here. That's it. And I don't need a guy that just does a bunch of dunks that you can put on a highlight reel to try to convince people to buy tickets to watch a team that never makes the postseason and he gets in foul trouble. That's all that I've seen out of Marquese Chris. He's shown a little bit of development down the low post, but when people say, oh my gosh, look at these high-flying dunks, it's still 2 points. So I'm just not impressed. I am totally impressed with Lauri Markkanen because I see an inside game, I see an outside game, I see a court awareness that I really like. And yeah, the last time I checked, he can dunk a ball too. And last time I checked, I've seen a couple of alley-oops. The Porzingis story has become more interesting in the last 48 hours. Porzingis' brother, who's been representing him, met with Phil Jackson, reportedly didn't go well, got heated. So as we're sitting here less than a month now from the draft, and the Suns have the 4th pick overall, and they have Eric Bledsoe. Do they have enough to maybe and a first-round pick next year with Goran Dragic's trade with Miami, and a first-round pick the year after, or 2 years after that, with Dragic? So they have some extra ones. Do they have enough to go make a run at somebody who would make a difference and put this team on the map? Devin Booker alone does not put this team on the map.
Can you just imagine Porzingis and Devin Booker playing together? Just let that sink in just for a minute or two. Oh,
okay. So
I'd be so excited for the this would be the Suns have officially turned the page and they are on the upswing instead of either flatlining or on the downslope.
Okay, so
and I know it's pie in the sky, but who knows?
But if you have a situation where a player is not happy and you feel like you can make something happen. You know, first of all, I don't think that downtown NBA offices in New York City or Secaucus, New Jersey would allow Porzingis to be traded out of New York. That's their marquee market. I do believe that there is that conspiracy theory in the back of my mind. Carmelo Anthony's not what he once was. I don't want any part of Carmelo Anthony here in Phoenix. Anybody who brings up Carmelo Anthony is the answer. You just like to have another 10 years of being stuck in the ditch. Guy's not going to do anything. Needs to go somewhere and be a 7th, 8th man. He'll do just fine. Go to San Antonio, knock yourself out, go chase a ring. Pretty simple. Porzingis, Bledsoe, and the 4th pick alone won't get it done. Jeff Hornacek knows Bledsoe. I can't imagine the league would let Porzingis go out, but his brother, it sounds as though, is trying to force the issue there in New York.
But Porzingis is a type of player, Brad, that if you need to overspend to get someone, he is the type of player that you can overspend on, and I think the trade would be more than welcomed. Even if they give up the four, if number four, Bled, and a first-round pick next year, or 2 first-round picks, if you follow basketball and you understand the skill set that Porzingis has, you would be more than welcoming to that deal.
Yeah, and I'm New York, and I want Devin Booker in the 4th pick.
You know I'd make that trade, but that's just me.
You would trade Booker.
But you'd have to give me number 8.
So Porzingis and 8
yep.
for 4 and Booker.
Yep.
And Booker in New York would be a rock star.
He would be a rock star.
And the fans here would go crazy.
That would not go.
Not that many fans left.
It would not go over well in Phoenix, but if I was playing GM for a day, I'd make that trade.
And we're not just sitting here making this stuff up on the Porzingis front. It's all over the place that he's not happy about what's going on back there. And that team blows. So he'd go from one team that blows to another team that blows. But I do think there's enough going on here that he can get this thing turned around. Jeff Hornacek said he recently sent Porzingis a text when he was asked whether Porzingis texted back. Hornacek just smiled and did not respond.
Oof.
Okay, that's pretty easy to just say, yes, I heard back from him and he wants to go to Subway and get a sandwich. You know, I mean, that's not that hard. Phil Jackson, this is Newsday. All of a sudden, he wants to do what's best for Carmelo Anthony over the team. There's no doubt the Knicks have a better lineup with a 10-time All-Star in uniform, but the Knicks executive insists new scenery would be best for the 32-year-old professional career. This is according to ESPN.com. Phil Jackson, the opportunity is narrowing. We'd just like to have success somewhere. We'd like him to have success somewhere. We're not going to be there. Hopefully, we'll be maybe a playoff team next year. It would be tough to consider us a possible champion. Carmelo Anthony has a no-trade clause, and he'll likely mull over his decision during the summer. Porzingis will stay in New York unless he threatens to sit out games, which isn't the case at this point. But it's just more turmoil in New York. So this is where, if you're Ryan McDonough, you have to pick up the phone and call and say, hey, what is going on? We've got some assets out here. And it may sound like pie in the sky, but if I'm sitting there at four, I can take Tatum, I can take Jason Tatum from Duke. And he's a very fine player. But for me, after seeing what Markkanen has done, he's going to be a top eight guy. Maybe Eric, I'd trade back from four if I know I can get him. That's the thing. Trade back and try to get more assets. Because this team's not one player away, that's for sure. On the latest from the NFL owners' meetings, on the other side, I'm Brad Sismat. All right, there is sad news today. Cortez Kennedy passed away. Cortez Kennedy is a Hall of Famer. Cortez Kennedy, a terrific defensive lineman with the Seattle Seahawks, went to the U, Miami. And he was only 48 years of age. Obviously, when you see a player that young who passes away, there's going to be a lot of questions. Cortez Kennedy, by every account, was a terrific guy. Absolutely terrific guy, a jewel of a person. But, man, 48 years of age for a Hall of Famer, former player to pass away, that's tough, tough deal. The NFL has followed through on a promise to relax rules for player celebrations. Now, when you go to games, and there's 70,000 of you, or announced 70,000, there's really 55, and you're watching games, and the ratings are unbelievable, and your player scores a touchdown, and the ref throws a flag, and they immediately say that celebration penalty, even though everybody's there paying their hard-earned money, just go have fun and respect, and the NFL gets to be known as the no-fun league. Why it takes so long for these guys to figure this stuff out is what is beyond me. How is it that a league that is in the entertainment business for years would sit there and throw flags and say, we can't have this celebration? We cannot have this in the end zone. Now, what will this do to the college game? What will this do to the high school game? What will this do to peewee football? I don't know. I think sometimes we get too caught up in he's acting as a way that is not appropriate. He should just be glad to be there. Yeah, you know what? You're right. Larry Fitzgerald very seldom does anything other than hand the football back to the referee. Very seldom. That's just how he is as a football player. Then there's other guys that like to do everything possible to attract the attention of themselves. Joe Horn hit a Sharpie within a goalpost, spun the football, broke it off like a coconut and drank out of it. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think there should be more of the entertainment side. You guys pay a lot of money, a ton of dough. You pay to park. You pay a lot for everything. So you should be allowed to have some celebration for your team or against your team. That's part of the beauty of sports is when your team gets drilled at home and you've got to deal with it. So I have no problem with this. Roger Goodell announced that players will be allowed to use the ball as a prop. They'll be allowed to celebrate on the ground like a snow angel. There's nothing. Hey, Roger, let's have a meeting because we're paying you, I think, what is it, $20 million? They're paying him a boatload of dough. Hey, Roger, we need to have a meeting here. You know, I think it would be in the best interest. We've done some research. We've done a focus group here. And let's it says that fans like snow angels. What do you think? Can we order out? We need to vote on this.
This whole thing is a slippery slope for the NFL because the players, especially the ones that hate Goodell, are going to push the boundaries on this so far, and it is going to become ridiculous, which I'm fine with. I mean, I don't care. It's fine. It's a game.
Some celebrations, according to Goodell, Goodell wrote just now on this, to your point, offensive demonstrations, celebrations that are prolonged and delay the game, and those directed at an opponent will still be penalized.
But there's a fine line. But it's all – see, this is a way that the NFL –
can't do that.
Yeah, but there are going to be things that players do, and the NFL's like, no, you can't do that. You're fined. And so it's just going to recycle into this, oh, the no fun league, da-da-da. That's why I say it's a no-win situation for the NFL. They want the players to have fun, but how far is too far?
Twerking is not going to be allowed. Hey, Roger, can I get a brownie over there with that sandwich? Let's talk about twerking here.
He's got nothing better to do. It's the
concussions.
It's the off-season.
Twerking.
He got through the draft. Got booed as he always does. The schedule's out. This is a good time just for to just let's put in some new rules.
Every year they do new rules, don't you think? I mean, seriously, Eric, you're right. They want to get back in the news cycle and remind people that they're there.
Of course.
I understand it. It's right during the Eastern Conference, Western Conference finals in the NBA. The finals are starting. Hey, you know, we're going to put some rule changes out there, and we know that everybody's going to fall all over themselves for rule changes. I understand that. It's funny to me how a league that wants to let everybody know how big and strong and powerful they are, they try really hard to remind us of that. That every year they have to change their rules because the rules aren't any good. Every year. They can't keep ahead of officials. They don't know what's a catch and what is a catch. We're going to talk about twerking. Twerking. Back there in row five. Yeah, Commissioner, can you... let me just get my official looking because I've been in those. Yes, Commissioner, can you talk about twerking and where twerking fits in? Tilt the head.
You look like an old school journalist with your legal notepad and your nice suit.
Wait. Here we
tie.
Go. Here we go. Commissioner, can you...
There we go.
It's like this.
Yep.
Can you address twerking, please? By the way, the concussion stuff, these pension payments, Cortez Kennedy passed away today.
Yeah,
Hall of Famer is 48.
And if you have anything to say about Tom Brady's concussions, I'll take that answer too.
Do you have some words on Jaceel? Can you pronounce her name? Have you met her before?
No, you've been butchering her name for a long time. Yeah. I believe it's Jaceel, but
I call her Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's her name. Wow. So, or how about that? Or something. No, seriously, we're sitting here going through twerking and offensive demonstrations. Can you imagine how dumb those meetings must have been with him? Sitting in a conference room with a bunch of grown adults saying, what can we allow and not allow? Like, just get back to football. Just get back to – can it be that hard to get back to football? The concussion thing far and away is more important than demonstrations and in the end zone and celebrations. Far more important. Instead, we're doing research, and we've hired the finest, and, all the usual nonsense. And then, Tom Brady's wife called Wow, said that Tom had a concussion last year. Just funny.
It's the king. It's the king for a reason.
Yeah, but I don't think it's as much of a king as it once was. I still think the college game is its biggest threat.
100 days away, not that I'm counting or you're counting.
Do you agree with that? Do you think the college football is the biggest threat to the NFL?
It depends on how the playoff system plays out in college. If they can perfect that and make that an even bigger grab than it's been, then I think so.
Do you think Vegas?
Because the NFL playoffs last year outside of the Super Bowl were horrible.
Right.
And I think... for college football, it's been really not much better in their playoff games, but I think they can catch a really, really big audience in college football in the playoffs.
Well, I think they could too.
And but for me and you, Brad, it's always just we're Saturday people. Some people are Sunday people.
But I was a Sunday person. I worked.
I was never a Sunday person.
I worked. I won't say I worked in the league in terms of a check. But I cut my teeth before coming here of being part of the NFL every day and thought it was a great, great brand.
And I love the NFL. I just like college a lot more.
But through the years, as I look at the league and they think they're attracting millennials, I don't know many millennials that watch the NFL. I don't. They'll say, oh, you're wrong. You're just being negative. No, I'm not.
I think a lot of them watch it, but not because they love football. It's because they love fantasy football.
And they love the gambling thing. That's why going to Vegas for the NFL is very smart business.
Yep.
The whole thing about having betting kiosks as you walk into games in Vegas will suddenly change the NFL. It will. That's why That's why Adam Silver's been wanting to put kiosks in the NBA games, because he knows first to market in this country, the first one to put in gambling at all the arenas or all the stadiums, you win for another period of time. Tonight, we have Corbin's pitching tonight, and that's hard. He's just not been the same. So I've got the Diamondbacks to watch tonight. I will watch Cavs-Boston tonight. And I'll probably, you know, keep an eye on some of these goofy rules that are going on today. Thanks for being with us. Our chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. He's been playing hurt today. We hope he gets better. But he's been here playing nonetheless. We appreciate that. The Iron Man. Eric, as always, Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, Jordan Hamm, Haley Stasiak, Justin Toscano, our intern. Have yourself a great day.